Just like to introduce my colleagues, Dr. Bilinski and Dr. Wojtyla, who are actually present, who are the Chief Sanitary Inspectors in Poland. As was introduced, Poland is one of the few countries in the world not to adopt a vaccination strategy to combat the swine flu pandemic. And I would like to go through the reasons why, what happened, the outcomes, and the structure of the talk will be essentially according to what I've what's shown here, the background, organisational structure and planning, the first phase actions, the ID and isolation, then a lot of the reasons and conclusions about what happened, then the second phase actions, containment, and finally some hard data on the outcomes. Just very briefly, the Polish plan guidelines were prepared much earlier in 2001-2005 according to various important organisations. This sprang into action in 2006 when the virus was first detected in 2007, and a special pandemic committee was set up in Poland to deal with this issue, obtaining the foremost scientific experts, and the whole project was run under the auspices of the Chief Sanitary Inspectorate. Very briefly, this is the main public health body in Poland, and amongst its many functions, it's to do with public health protection, and especially on communicable disease control. This is basically shows the administrative subdivisions in Poland into 16 provinces, divided into 318 counties, and there's also 15 border sanitary and epidemiological stations, which all report to the Chief Sanitary Inspectorate. This just shows briefly Poland, a medium to large size European country, of almost 39 million. And a little few words about the Chief Sanitary Inspectorate. Employs 18,000 people. Each province has an accredited laboratory. It possesses an integrated system linking all information from the whole of Poland and sent into the Chief Sanitary Inspectorate, who also has contacts with rapid early alert systems throughout Europe, which is integrated to the EU and WHO. So a two-way system, as it were. So turning to the preparations that we made. Reserve stocks were made of the antivirus drugs under the Ministry of Health and GIS, which is the Chief Sanitary Inspectorate. And the worldwide situation epidemiologically was monitored and updated and keeping in contact, very close contact with national counterparts, especially from those countries affected in North America and Mexico. The plan of action came into being in end of April 2009 when this occurred in the American continent. The Chief Sanitary Inspectorate at this time extended its first phase to cover people coming back from holidays, especially school children and families. So this was extended to the end of August. And we focused on, obviously, identifying suspected cases coming from areas of high infection, as I mentioned, North America and Mexico, especially air passengers. The state of alert was implemented at all airports, and the aim was to identify all persons who exhibited flu-like symptoms by suitably qualified personnel. All suspected cases were referred to isolation wards who are specially set up in airports, and cases confirmed by doctors were then transported to nearest hospital and disease departments in isolated conditions. And then diagnostic testing was performed and patients then underwent appropriate flu treatment by doctors. Various contacts were obviously followed up by epidemiology, which I'll refer to in the next slide. This is to do with having contact during the air flights. So people sitting in the near vicinity or on the same plane were checked up, followed up epidemiologically to make sure that they hadn't exhibited flu-like symptoms. This was performed the end of June and extended to August, and this was then extended to people returning also from seaports due to the summer holiday season coming to an end. some of the actions to actually inform, educate passengers returning. There was loudspeaker information relayed on various symptoms, and to do with also prevention measures, coughing, hand washing, sneezing, and other human contacts. And posters were displayed everywhere. There was much media coverage. And as I said, at the end of August, these actions were extended to the land and sea connections in Poland. Furthermore, some more preparations for phase one. More hospital beds were made available in cases of there being a large increase. Information was relayed, especially to doctors, how to treat H1N1. Although we recommended that treatment should only be done with the antiviral drugs in the medium to worst cases. The National Flu Laboratory relayed instructions to all the healthcare services and how to take and deal with sampling. And also the diagnostic tests, the real-time PCR testing was from one lab to 12 labs was increased to cope with the expected demand. The antiviral drugs was only supplied to hospitals. It was withdrawn from chemists to ensure the stocks didn't run out and also to prevent any possible overuse and therefore acquired immunity. It was considered that the existing network was sufficient to deal with this problem, and the period up to the end of August gave us time to relay guidelines, prepare hospital staff to deal with this problem. In fact, because of the decrease in communicable diseases, we had to increase the capacity in hospitals, i.e. more doctors, and also more time in setting up the RT-PCR testing. So some of the reasons why this was extended to August. This would allow suspected confirmed cases to be precisely observed regarding the illness severity to enable appropriate treatment. As I said, time was gained to prepare medical staff and send information to various medical establishments. Sufficient numbers of beds were available. And obviously during this time, the performance of the medical sanitary services in other countries were very closely monitored to see how they coped and also hoped to learn from their experiences. And it was also considered that the flu would eventually break out in Poland quite late, because Polish people tend, relatively speaking, to travel less abroad, and mainly through the capital in Warsaw. At the end of August, there were actually no instances found of the virus spreading in Poland. All cases came from abroad. Phase one was then extended to end of September to allow for students coming back on holiday. And throughout this time, as I've mentioned previously, the medical services were prepared by training GPs, sending instructions on how to manage the problem. Sending instructions on how infectious disease wards should cope really with increased patient loads. And continuing on, the monitoring system was also set up to monitor the consumption of drugs and antibiotics in chemists as well as in hospitals. Also, the Chief Sanitary Inspectorate warned people not to travel to areas like the Ukraine and Belarus, countries that neighbour Poland, at this time because of the it was a national feast day and people go and travel abroad to visit graves of their grandparents, etc. And there was in fact a panic in Ukraine, so this helped to alleviate the problem. And the conclusions from this first phase of identification and isolation, the course was actually relatively mild, and only 10% of the people suffering required antiviral drugs. The Polish population was found to comply very well with instructions. Panic was avoided, fortunately, and the public opinion was surveyed. Only 78%, in fact, were not alarmed at all by the flu. Sanepid services coped very well at borders and all places like airports, seaports, etc. And it was found that on the whole, medical staff from infectious disease departments correctly assess the severity of the disease and the appropriate treatment, diagnostic treatments. The diagnostics and then treatment were implemented. And we found that capacity was sufficient in Poland to cope with this section. Just as mentioned before, 12 laboratories were set up to correctly diagnose the virus. In terms of collecting samples, this was done in two ways. All people in Poland who had flu-like symptoms or were treated with flu, all the information was sent directly to the Chief Sanitary Inspectorate. And also, we were part of the Sentinel system in Europe, in the EU, whereby various hospitals and GP healthcare centres are assessed by taking random samples to give a reflection on the severity of the disease. So we had two sources of data from monitoring. And the proportions of one thing about vaccinations, Polish society, the Polish population is quite resistant in vaccination. They don't like it. And to achieve a 60-70% vaccination rate, as in other countries in Western Europe, was completely impractical. So that was one of the major reasons why the decisions was taken as well. Containment phase, the second phase, as it were. This was declared at the beginning of November. A public information campaign was launched on radio, TV, etc. And most importantly, focusing on prevention measures. If you cough, go and see a doctor, sneezing, and then hand washing, airing premises, and safe contact with other persons. Leaflets and posters were distributed everywhere. And we kept track of how many hospital beds were occupied in infectious disease departments. And there was weekly monitoring performed of drugs bought against colds, chemists, antivirals used in hospitals. And also for school children, we monitored very closely school absenteeism around this time. As I mentioned before, flu monitoring is performed in two ways, the Sentinel system and the national system, which in fact collected samples on nearly every case. So this being much more accurate method of identifying what the progress of the disease was. This is just on the Sentinel system, just as I mentioned previously, all integrated and samples taken at random throughout Poland, and results samples sent to national public health institutes for analysis and confirmation. Some data now. This shows the influenza-like illness rate per 100,000 for the years up to from 2006 to 2011. And this showing, this is I have to focus your attention, this is a log scale, so perhaps the peaks are a little bit more dramatic than they really should be. But anyway, this shows that, in effect, the peaks were in keeping with perhaps performances in other years, although the 2009-2010 showed a peak around November. Okay. So the initial findings during phase one demonstrated that the course of the H1N1 infection was mild, and the majority of cases in fact didn't require antiviral treatments. The use of antiviral drugs was limited for obvious reasons. It was found that older people tended to have more immunity and didn't succumb to the H1N1 pandemic due to previous pandemics occurring in 68 and 77. The H1N1 virus was in fact confirmed in only half the suspected cases of illness, and it was found that the number of hospitalizations and complications requiring intensive care were in fact within the average for seasonal flu. This shows a comparison with the UK, where they adopted a containment phase and followed straight away by treatment through vaccination, whereas in Poland, as I mentioned, it was just containment, identification, isolation, followed by containment. this showed the peak in at the time of the major pandemic in the UK around the middle of the year, and in Poland this year the peak occurred about 20 weeks later. This peak perhaps looks a little bit more dramatic than it perhaps is, because this UK data was based on the Sentinel data, which is, as I said, through random sampling, whereas our data shown here is actually what happens in reality through analysis of all samples sent to the Chief Sanitary Inspectorate. Comparable data from 2009-2010 in Poland using the Sentinel system in fact showed a very minor peak after 20 weeks. So, essentially this is just what I've said before, and mentioning that the younger population was more affected. And this shows the same data, showing in Poland the ILI rate per 100,000 compared to the UK. So it's essentially a 20-week gap, as I said previously. And this just sums up the comparison of the UK. Through extending the identification isolation phase, the virulence of the virus seemed to be mild, as previously seen on the American continent. In other countries, the UK, this phase was bypassed. The peak ILI rate occurred 20 weeks after the UK one, and as I said before, Poles are one of the least willing nations to be vaccinated. And in Poland, several thousand cases of infection recorded to ILI in Poland, 2,851 in 31st of March 2010, and there were 180 confirmed deaths, well within the normal season averages. Oh, and this just shows the effects on the older generation, where the more resistance is due to the reasons I mentioned previously for elderly people, and you can see that the ILI rate for the younger generations is higher. I think I'll finish there, and thank you for your attention, and I welcome any questions. That's a good question. I think there's still relatively, choose words carefully, not backward, but being pinpricked with vaccinations is regarded in Poland as an intrusion and unnecessary, and then they're still not modern in their outlook yet. I think it's a question of education yet to convince people that this actually can be effective. I think they rely on traditional methods of treating flu still, keeping warm all the time, which is a little bit excessive, and those kind of things.